going to see transformation happen. And what I hope this is, more than just getting a nice cleaning for the church, because if that's all it is, it's kind of not very meaningful. But I want it to serve as a reminder that if we just take a step, if we're willing to serve where we are, wherever that might be, whoever we might be, God takes it and uses it and makes a difference in our lives, in the lives of those around us, and it grows the kingdom. So I hope that that's the approach. That's what we'll understand today as we come before God with the to hear the message he has given to us. We read from Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 14 and reading through verse 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another one 2 bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought out another 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. But his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even they will have what is taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord, as we come to you and we look at this scripture, Lord, sometimes scripture sounds harsh. But we know you. We know your love for us. We know that you desire for our lives to be lives that are blessed, lives that are filled with joy. So Lord, help us to receive and understand your word at this time in a way that not only are we receiving, but we're coming here to worship you, that we're not the audience, but you are. Lord, we give this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as we go through the scripture, if you want to keep your Bibles out, what has God entrusted to you is my first question. What has God entrusted to you? And in verse 14, there we read, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. God has entrusted each one of us with many things in our lives. These may take the forms of money, that type of resource. And as you do, there's a call to give back. Even today, we didn't at this service pass the plate around, but there are plates that will be as you exit. And if you choose to, if God leads you because of the blessing you've received, there are plates there to receive. And it's not just for this church. Giving is a part of what Scripture calls us to do. And as we give of that, God takes it and uses it and blesses it in ways that we can't do by ourselves. So that's one, but sometimes people stop there and they miss out on the rest of that in terms of what God's entrusted us with, not just what comes from our paychecks, but there's more. God has entrusted you with talents. God has entrusted you with abilities. God has equipped you to do specific things. But that's not all either. God's placed you in a position. I don't know what everybody's position here is. Some of you have businesses of your own that you run, so you're in a position where you are an employer. And so that position allows you certain abilities and opportunities. You may be an employee, but you may work alongside some other employees. You may be an employee, but in the midst of being an employee, the person that you work for is your opportunity. You know, there was a conference I went to one time as a college student when I was in a thing called Baptist Student Union, and there was a guy that came and spoke to us, and he was CEO of this really, really large company. It was a soft drink company. He was a really large member of that, and he said, you know, I had hundreds of thousands of people work for me, and I know I wasn't a really approachable person, but it was years of me being there before any Christian believer came to me and sought me out and told me how much God loved me and cared for me. That wasn't an easy thing for him to do, but he did it. So you see, there's opportunity of position, there's opportunity of talents, there's opportunity of tithe, but God has entrusted you. You need to know that. You need to recognize that. You have been entrusted. The next statement, with ability comes responsibility. And this is the one that I was going through. I really thought of the children that we spent time with today. As our children grow up, as the four that we looked at today, we want them to grow and accept responsibility. And the responsibility that Kaylee and Andrew will accept will be in many ways based on their ability in terms of what God wants you to do. The same will be true with Aaliyah and Buckley. And so we can see that now in these children's lives, and we want that for them, but God wants the same thing for us. The master in the parable is God. The master and God both have expectations. One expectation is that we're thankful for what we have. And I mentioned it at first. That was my first point, that we've been entrusted with things. We need to be thankful for that. We may not have everything we want, but we need to be thankful for what we do have. When was the last time you took account of what it is God has given you in your life? And then as we can truly recognize that and become thankful for that, that allows us to do the next thing, and that's to respond. God wants us to be thankful for what we've been given, but then we're to respond with that. Whether it's with our finances, whether it's with our talent, whether it's with our position, whatever it may be, there's to be a thankfulness and a response. My next question, it's based on verses 16 and 17. If you need a hint, you may go there. But I'm wondering, my question is, what does a ROI look like? And I want to change it more. What does your ROI look like? And at least Sarah can't answer because she knows without even thinking what this is. But anybody else, what am I thinking about? What am I talking about when I have ROI here? Return on investment. What does your return on investment look like? You see, and I'm not going to go back and read on the scriptures, but here's what the return on investment looked like for the servants in the scripture. One person's return on investment, he was given 5, but his return was 10. Another one was given 2, but his return was 4. The last one was given 1. What was his return? You could say 1 or none, basically, because nothing changed. God expects a return on investment. God invested in us. God didn't put us here on this earth just to take up space. God blesses us. God wants us to grow. And in fact, if we aren't living that way, we're not going to experience the fullness of the life God has intended for us. So let's spend just a moment looking at that servant that dug the hole. And I'm wondering, are there any of us here today who are digging holes? I believe some of us are. So then my question would be, why do we dig holes? And digging hole basically means that we're not having any return on investment. We're not using what God has entrusted us with to make a difference in the life that we're living. So why do people do that? Why do people just go through life and ignore what it is that God has entrusted them with? I have a few suggestions. One is, I believe people may have their own agendas. Yes, God's given me this, and I kind of know that. But, you know, I really want to do this. And I want to spend time doing this. And this is what my goal is. And I'm not saying there's something wrong with what it is we may be striving for. It may not be a bad thing. But the problem is, if that isn't something that God is a part of, it's not going to be able to make a long-term difference in this life or the one to come. So we've got to get past our own agendas. Another one, some of us are just lazy. Usually things that are worth doing take some time, some effort, and often blood, sweat, and tears. Sometimes we just don't want to put it out. We want to get by easy. Being a Christian is something God calls us to do. It's a blessed life. It's the greatest life you have ever been given. And it was a gift from God through Jesus Christ. But anybody that ever tells you it's going to be easy, you better look at them twice. God gives us the ability to face things that are difficult. But God doesn't turn around and take control in such a way as to make life easy. Because it's often through those challenges that we grow the most. Another reason that some of us dig holes is we just feel sorry for ourselves. We look at other people. Other people have this opportunity. Other people have this going on. Other people have this amount of money. Other people have this new car. And we just don't think it's fair. So we sit around and feel sorry for ourselves, and we accomplish very little. That's another way of digging a hole. But I think while all of us probably have dealt with these at some point in our lives, myself included, I think probably the biggest reason that we dig holes is because of our fear of failure. I don't know which one this servant did, but if I had to pick one, I'm guessing it was probably his fear of failure. Because he didn't want to do something, he didn't want to mess it up, and then when the master get back there, he not have something to present for himself, so he just shut down. He took that, he hid it, and he sat around, and if he hid that, it basically, as far as his master was concerned, he did nothing except dig a hole and put it there. And God doesn't want us to do that with who he has created us to be. So sometimes Satan takes our fear of failure and paralyzes us, keeps us from being the person God called us to be. The title of the message was Serve Where You Are. That fear of failure, sometimes we think we're not equipped enough. We don't know enough about the Bible. We haven't spent enough time in church. We don't know enough scripture verses. We haven't served on enough committees. And all of these reasons and excuses that we can't do and be, but God wants us to serve where we are, and he does equip us to serve where we are right now with who you are. You don't have to be somebody else. You don't have to go somewhere else. Then this leads us to what I've listed as my final question. What is the master's response to you today? In the parable that we read, the master is on a journey and he comes back. This is an analogy to the fact that God has gone and will be returning to claim his own. So we know that Jesus Christ is going to return. God's going to return and there's going to be an accounting for who we are. So that journey hasn't ended yet. But if God did come back today, what would he say to you? Would he say, "You've done a good job, my faithful servant"? Or would he say, "You've been sitting around digging holes and you haven't done much good for me"? Regardless, that can change today. Maybe you've been doing some good, but you know God wants you to do more. Today's the time to make that commitment. Maybe you have been digging your own holes in some way of some of the examples I gave here or something different. And you know that your life can be something more. You know that your life isn't what it's supposed to be. You know there's not joy and purpose in your life the way the God of the universe wants it to be, because He loves you. You saw the parents that were up here during the time we had for the children. How much do you think each of those parents loved these children that were up here? How much? Linda said it before we got started. They loved them so much. But I'm telling you, God loves you more than these parents have the ability to love these children. And that God is the one that desires you to be able to live a full life. And so don't let Satan cause your feel of failure to dig a hole and sit in it. Live the life you were created to live. And God will be able to bless you the way He yearns to do. The more we serve, the more we give, the more God is able to bless us. God doesn't need us to do stuff for Him, but God knows that when we do, that we are blessed and He's able to give to us in return. It is impossible to outgive God. Have you ever heard that? It is. It's true. It is impossible to outgive God. Because if you're giving with a genuine heart, God is going to bless you over and over and over again. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. And as they do, I want to share an illustration. You see the sunflower that's here. If you were here 2 months ago to this day, Ms. Giles and I had a conversation in the 11 o'clock service. We started talking about sunflowers. And I had these sunflower seeds, and we were talking about it was our last Sunday of talking in a series about discipleship and how God intends us to grow. But with this seed, something amazing and great and wonderful is produced. And I asked if anybody had any sunflowers, and Ms. Giles said, "Yes, I got some sunflowers. They're looking pretty good." I said, "How tall are they?" She said, "Well, they're only about this tall now, but they're going to get 12 feet, I promise you." Well, Ms. Giles and I have been talking for over the past 2 months, and she told me this past week, she said, "Greg, they've reached their peak." I said, "Good, Ms. Giles, I want to see them, and I want you to bring one to church for me." So she did. So this seed, and it's what this plant started out from, was a seed like this. And it grew into something that could never be imagined just by looking at this seed. That's what God wants to do with us. But I want to tell you, we talk about the old self and the new self. And when we approach communion in just a moment, we talk about the newness. But this seed, if you go back and look where it's planted, you're not going to find this seed anywhere. You're not going to find the outer hard shell, because it had to be let go of so it could grow. We need to do the same. We need to let go of some stuff in our lives so we can flourish, so we can grow. So you consider what it is you need to let go of as you seek to serve and be the person God created you to be. And as others see that, they will know we are Christians because of the way we serve and take care of and watch over and love each other. Let's stand together.
We are one.